Welcome to Aim Higher, a show designed to help us realize the leadership potential inside of all of us. I'm Skip Pritchard, CEO, author, blogger, student of success, and your host. Sustaining success is a challenge that commands the attention of leaders no matter the industry, no matter the function. Sustaining success. Achieving a level of success, it often feels like you reached a summit, you reached the top of a mountain, you reached something great, but the true test of leadership lies in maintaining that altitude and then scaling even new heights. Research shows that sustained success is not only about repeating what worked in the past to get you to the summit, but also continuously evolving and adapting so that you can take on new challenges. A study that I read in the book Built to Last, Successful Habits of Visionary Companies, Collins reveals that organizations that sustain success over long periods do so by adhering to some core values, but they also at the same time embrace change and embrace innovation. The authors of that book argue that there's a dichotomy. It's between preserving a core ideology and then stimulating progress. And that dichotomy is essential for long-term success. I'm thinking of another book, Blue Ocean Strategy, and the book emphasizes the importance of exploring new markets and how to create demand to sustain growth. And in that book, the authors argue that success is sustained not by battling competitors in what they call red oceans, saturated with rivalry and competition, but instead creating blue oceans where you have uncontested market space. A beautiful thing if you have uncontested market space, brand new. The significance of leadership in sustaining success cannot be overstated. Sustaining success, it requires energy, it requires determination, and it requires your A game at all times. In the Harvard Business Review, I read a study that companies that focus on developing leaders who prioritize the long-term health over short-term performance are the ones that are more likely to sustain success. Because these leaders are focused on a continuous learning culture. They're focused on adaptability. They're focused on resilience, long-term health, not short-term health. And yet, the push is so often in the opposite direction to have short-term results, which gets you very, very little. So organizations that adapt their strategies and operations in response to the changes that they're seeing in their environment, those are the ones that are more likely to sustain and achieve the success they want. So you need to have a commitment to a strategy that's mixed with agility, and that helps you navigate challenges and seize opportunities. And the research that I've read seems to say that sustaining success requires a balanced approach. You have to honor the organization's core values and embrace innovation. It demands visionary leadership, a culture of continuous learning and improvement, and strategic agility. Sustaining success is so important. It's something I remember on an interview that I was on where a board member was interviewing me and said, "What is sustainable success?" And I was so struck by that question. Very rare do I not have an answer. And I said, I need to pause on that one for just a moment, because you think about how do you achieve success, but sustainable success adds a whole new layer that I was not thinking of. There's my little rant to open up the podcast. And now I want to bring in two experts to talk about sustaining success. Drew Bordes, welcome back.
Hi, happy to be here.
And Tammy Spade.
Thanks, excited to be here as well.
I think the audience knows you both, and if they don't, there are so many episodes they should listen to.
They're not aiming high enough, Skip, if they don't know us by now.
It's very, very true, or maybe they're aiming higher and higher. Who knows, right? So what strategies have you seen that are effective for your team to sustain success over the long term?
Well, you know how I like alliteration. So I was thinking about this topic and thinking about three things: roadmap, resilience, and relationship. I'll quickly just explain. Roadmap meaning, I think to have success, you have to know where you're going. You have to have direction, and everyone needs to understand what that direction is. I think resilience, you've already touched on, which is you have to be adaptable. You have to figure out how you're going to course correct. If you're on your roadmap and there's a barrier somewhere, there's a roadblock, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to, you know, complete a different funding model, whatever it is. And I think relationship is both outside and inside. Relationship meaning with your customers. Who are your customers? How are you communicating with them? How are they giving you input and feedback so you can continue to iterate and innovate? And then, of course, relationships within the team.
Tell us more about the relationships.
Well, relationships outside or inside?
Inside.
Inside. Relationships within the team, I think, again, just, you know, continuing to have regular planning session, regular feedback, opportunities for people to give input, the ability to be resilient and course correct and not have people feeling kind of deflated or not feeling as if they were doing a good job.
I like,
you know,
that. Yeah. I like the connection between the three.
Yeah, there you go.
So now we're going to hear Drew's alliteration.
I came up with three also, but mine don't all start with the same letter because I'm not Tammy Spade.
That's not alliteration. Okay.
No, I know it's not alliteration, but it's still brilliant nonetheless. The first thing, this is not going to surprise either of you, that came to mind for me was process of just bad things are going to happen. That's what happens in businesses. Something's going to happen. Something's going to go wrong. Something's going to break. Somebody's going to be unhappy. Do you have a way to know about it, fix it, identify it, make sure it never happens again, and just have that rigorous process in place all the time, everywhere you can, right? Second thing that came to mind was stability. And I mean this mostly from a leadership perspective. We know some things that are really, really hard to do take years, and they take years of consistent strategy, message, goals. And if you are changing out the CEO or the CIO or whatever every 18 months, you're not getting anything done but the bare minimum. You just can't. And then the third, and this, I think this is a tricky one because I think sustainable success is tough, right? Everybody wants it. I can't imagine a company saying, I hope we tank in 5 years. That would be great, right? So everybody wants this, but it's so hard to get. And I think when we talk about adaptability, there's a time to adapt and there's a time to be patient. And it's not always clear which is right.
That's good.
You know, should I change everything and adapt? Should I hold on because the market trends I'm seeing are temporary? Are they permanent? It's so tough to say, when do I act in this way?
It's really good. I think about sustainable success. We also all think about it, sports teams. You may think of one and be thinking of one that consistently wins after year. That is not what came to my mind.
No.
That is not
Georgia Tech. I think you might have been thinking of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
It's the 1950s I was thinking of.
So sustainable success in a team, it's always fascinating to ask coaches who have coached teams that win year after year after year or took over losing organizations and then propelled them to wins and goes on to succeed and create that culture. So what are the different ways you as a leader, as a coach, bring in a culture of success that then helps perpetuate itself? What do you do to help drive that?
One thing that comes to mind for real with sports, I think recently is the Patriots example.
So the Georgia Tech thing wasn't for real?
I mean, I wish.
Yeah.
But like, was it Belichick or was it Brady? And when they're both there and they're both winning, it's very hard to figure that out. When they go their separate ways and Tom Brady wins again and Bill Belichick doesn't, that doesn't necessarily concretely answer the question, but it is a new data point. And so I think from a business perspective, again, it's sometimes hard to tell. Are you know how they say everybody's a genius in a bull market, right? Is it really you and your company that is succeeding right now? Are you just riding the wave up and everybody else is succeeding too and you're fooling yourself? It's a tough thing to look in and say, why are we succeeding right now? Because you want to believe it's our brilliance. It might not be.
Well, when Tom Brady calls in, we'll make sure we ask him these questions.
I'm pretty sure I know what his answer might be.
That's good.
I think the sports analogy is a good one, though, because when you do look at winning programs, let's say, their personnel is changing all the time. And sometimes in corporate environments, we say, well, lots of personnel change is disruptive. But they have programs in place that bring people into their program, quickly get them integrated, and quickly get them on the road, on the roadmap. And I think where I've seen success in situations like that is I know exactly what I need on the team. What are the skills, the experiences, the approaches I need on the team? And even if there is a change in personnel, you go and make sure that somebody else can fulfill that need. So you get the sustainability over time that you might lack if you're just kind of relying on, you know, people without a plan.
It's really good. I also think about my recent interview with Tom Ryan, coach of the Ohio State University wrestling program. And it was interesting to talk about when someone loses a match, what do you do? And the feedback loop that he gives, which was so extraordinarily positive, and it's about learning and continuous improvement, that just leads them to get back up and do it again. Because that's what it's all about, right? Sustainable success. You have to be a, we're all, you know, Drew said bad things will happen. The question isn't, will bad things happen? They will. The question is, what are you going to do about it? So knock down 7 times, get up 8. Mm-hmm. It's those kind of things that are there. And it goes back to one of your R's, which is resilience. How do you build a culture of resilience and find and instill resilience? I want to ask that question, but I want to start with the fact that it starts by hiring people who are resilient. And sometimes you can do that easier by bringing them in than teaching that. You know, so is this a resilient person or do they fall apart so quickly? How do they think? How do they operate? I know in early interviews that I used to do at one company many decades ago was putting people through elaborate, almost acting experiences where you had to deal with people coming into the room saying things and we would watch how they dealt with situations. You would see how resilient they were from the things that were unexpected coming in. Of course, I had great fun with that. That was so awesome.
I bet.
I'm so glad
it's kind of brutal.
It was so fun.
Kind of brutal.
It was so fun.
Different job market.
Yeah. Oh, I have a great friend who said, I never forget you walked in and I had to sing a song about this.
Gosh.
Anyways, hilarious. So fun. So fun. And he was genius and so good at what he did. Anyway, how do you build a culture of resilience and encourage resilience in your teams?
I think something that comes to mind as you're saying that is being in touch with reality, knowing the reality of the situation, right? Are you clicking along and you're winning and things are good? Are you in a lull? Do you need a quick win? Do you need to kind of gather everybody together and say, look, we've been in a dry spell. We need to, because like sustainable success doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean everything is wonderful all the time. Nobody has that in any situation ever, and especially not at work. But it means, I think sustainable success means, are you built for the long haul? Can you weather storms? Can you weather mistakes? Can you seize on opportunities consistently year over year over year over year? And so I think just understanding with your team, what season are we in? What's going on in the market? Where are we right now? And not resting on past laurels, not fooling yourself, not getting too down either. If a couple things didn't go your way, but the sky hasn't fallen, the more realistic you can be, the better you can assess the situation.
I think you mentioned too, making sure you're hiring resilient people, which is important. Not everybody's equally resilient. I think about somebody on our team that is so head down and so resilient, you almost have to stop him from continuing to do that, or he's just going to kill himself, burn himself out. You need people like that, though, on the team to get everybody else enthused. So you have to kind of make sure that you've got enough people on the team who are going to rally the rest of the group when rallying is needed. I think also a sports analogy, but you use it sometimes in process and projects, Drew, is the timeout.
Yes.
So when you're watching a basketball game and, you know, basketball is a game of runs, one team's on a run, you take a timeout. You stop the momentum. And if it's a negative momentum in a project or something like that, or things are going a little off course, then you're going to take a timeout, talk to the team about what's going on, reposition, re-enthuse, and then people get back out on the floor, as it were, with a completely fresh perspective. And then there's usually a turnaround in the momentum.
So the big question, is the timeout more effective in that situation in basketball or in American football?
I think basketball.
Yeah. I think so too.
Because it's a shorter game.
It can 20 points can get away from you so quickly.
Fast scoring.
Yeah. You can feel the emotional shift if you're in the arena. You can definitely see that happen. I agree. Yeah. In what ways do you engage? This was just a bonus question that people are so thrilled to learn.
They are.
They are thrilled to learn this. But in what ways do you engage with customers to sustain your success? Why, how and why is that important?
I think resilience actually comes up a lot in customer-facing situations. One of the things I like about interacting with customers is there's an added level of pressure. It's almost you're almost on. It's you're it's not quite a performance, but there's something to it like that, where you are part of your products and services and company, and you are representing them, and you need it to go well. And like life, it doesn't always go well. The demo doesn't always work. The software doesn't always work. The customer may ask a question that's totally unfair or unexpected. And so having that level of resilience to be able to handle it. The demo didn't grow great. Oh, I wish the software would have worked right, but it didn't. How do you react to it? How do you respond? How do you come back the next day and say, you know what? I didn't have the answer to that question, but I got it last night. And let me circle back with you on that. Mm-hmm. There's an added level of customer interaction resilience that can lead to sustained success.
Yeah. I think it's also mining for the treasure in the customer interactions. We went to a big international corporation several years ago and heard their philosophy on customer engagement and customer satisfaction. And in this case, they said, look, there's going to be a percentage of your customers who, for all kinds of different reasons, are not going to give you great feedback. If you let that trouble you, if you let that influence the feedback you're getting from the other parts of your customer base, you get sapped. You're not going to be resilient. So you have to be able to be resilient through that. Distill the treasures that are there. Identify what are they saying that might be something I'm hearing from other parts of the customer base, and then move on. You can't stay there. You can't dwell on it.
My advice is if you're not listening to your customers, you will have very difficult time having sustainable success.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they will point out areas for new products and new services and new areas for you to grow in if you just ask the right questions.
Yep.
Now, it may not be in the exact way that they suggest it, but if you start to hear themes and you really listen to them, this is a need we have. Nobody's addressing this. We don't know what to do about this. If this was solved, it would really help me. You may say, well, that might be a market opportunity. I would say, is it a customer opportunity or a market opportunity? If it's a customer opportunity, that's not very valuable because you're working on something just for one person. If it's a market opportunity, it says, this solves a problem for a large group of customers. That may be the seed of an innovation that will take this company into new heights. That's where the sustainable success comes from. So to me, it's really about those refinements and those course corrections, even on something that you're already doing, can be exactly what you needed to hear that will take you to the right place. We all know course corrections to the moon happen constantly thousands and thousands of times. If not, one is off and you miss the moon. So what measures can you put in place to prevent complacency after you've hit this incredible success? You hit this success and then you just sense this malaise. What do you do?
That's a great question. I'm thinking of the sports analogy again, where you see a team have an incredible game, maybe outperform expectations, and then in the next game when they're expected to win, they just don't.
It's a tough one though, because it's tough to we respond. A lot of us respond so well to incentives and urgency, and you know, you say light a fire, right? And when there's no fire and the sky's not falling and you've been winning, it can get tough, right? I mean, that's it, because you don't want to make false reasons, because I think good people will see through that. So you don't want to have a false fire, a false urgency. So I think trying to find, do you up the game? Do you say, okay, we have been winning at this. We need to go into a new market. We need to, you know, get a little bit better at this. And the bar isn't what it was 6 months, a year ago, because that's why sustainable success is so difficult, because the competition is going to show up. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in blue ocean strategy, you find a blue ocean, you better seize it, because it will not be blue for long.
I think you do have to rest and celebrate for a while.
Yeah,
unless you're Drew. You have to rest and celebrate for a while, but you can't let that become your everyday.
Right.
You have to then turn the corner to, okay, what's the next hill we're going to take?
Complacency is a weed in the garden, and if you let it grow, it will kill your success. It is everything. complacency, to me, you have to viciously attack, whether it's personal, team, organizational. It's so easy to fall into it. It's so easy to stay there. It's so easy to justify it. Mm-hmm. And yet no growth happens. But that's the place where everybody wants to go because it is your comfort zone. And complacency means I'm not being challenged. And there are times when you just can't be challenged. You're done. You're exhausted. You need to celebrate, whatever. On one scale, celebrating. On the other side, you're just, you know, you're really sick. So all of those things are true, but you just can't stay complacent for long. If you do, you are not growing. And the people who are the most complacent are not growing. So whether it is physically and exercising, whether it's mentally and learning new things, mm-hmm. whether it's challenging yourself with the team, complacency to me is just, that's a whole topic that would be so interesting. Maybe we should cover that. But what advice do you give to leaders who are struggling just to have success in their organization? So sustained success, and they're like, oh, that's a dream, Drew, Tammy, this is, you know, to have sustained, I just can't even get my team to be successful. Where do I start?
Well, that's where I go back to small wins. I mean, because success is, at a certain point, it's what you define it as. So are you aiming for something that is just too far out for whatever reason? And can you reset that? Can you, because winning is, it's contagious. People get attracted to winners. You want to be on a winning team. So, I mean, small wins are not to be dismissed. They can really build into momentum and bigger things, but it helps to have a couple.
I like that.
Yeah, I love that too. I think you have to get the team imagining. I think you have to ask people, what is winning going to look like in this situation for this team? And then you have to get them imagining. And if they're not going where you want them to go or as high as you want them to go, then you have to say, well, what if this? What if that? And you get people, you get the wheel turning. And you get the growth going, yep. And then you can kind of marshal everyone together. What would you need for that? What would that look like?
It's very good. Well, the last question, I want to take you back to the earliest parts of your careers. If you were having someone drop in and say, I want to give you some lessons, some things that I've learned about sustaining success, what are the ones that you wish you knew at the very beginning that would have helped you in your own path to sustainable success?
Drew, not everybody is an idiot. That would help me. It still would help me.
That's a pretty good one.
Right?
Yeah. Be careful who you talk to.
Yeah.
Be careful who you talk to. Finish college.
Marry Kennington Bordas. That's what I would do.
Yeah, sustainable success. And there's that advice early on is so important to everybody. And I think the best solution, a lesson that I would have loved, is to have aim higher. And so for all of you listening to Aim Higher, early in your careers or even late, you are on the path to sustainable success. And we want to thank you for listening, giving us feedback, asking questions, and commenting, because you are the reason we do this. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Aim Higher with Skip Pritchard. Check out skippritchard.com for more episodes, interviews, book reviews, and leadership insights. Until next time, remember, don't settle for the mediocre. Always aim higher.